OWC Radio 2.0, Episode 12, an interview with Kevin Reeves. OWC Radio 2.0, episode number 12. I'm Tim Robertson. Thank you very much for downloading it. This is going to be a little bit shorter of an episode for one very good reason. As I record this, great big thunderstorms are getting ready to descend upon me here at the recording studio. And I've already heard some pretty deep rumbles of thunder, and I'm a little bit worried that if I try to record this intro for too long, the sound is going to dramatically change because I'm real close to a window and you're going to start hearing a whole lot of rain. You're going to hear the thunder, and I don't want to do that. So I'm going to keep this intro short and almost jump immediately to our interview. But let me talk about the interviewee first. His name is Kevin Reeves. He's a very talented musician. At the end of the interview, I'm actually going to play a song. Kevin gave me permission to use one of his songs to put at the end of the interview. So when we wrap up the interview, don't switch over to the next podcast that you're going to listen to or switch to the radio. Continue listening so you can actually hear the music of Kevin Reeves. And I didn't think about this when we were recording it. In fact, I didn't think about it until I was getting ready to start editing this episode, because the interview that I conducted with Kevin actually happened a week ago. So as I record this intro, I actually interviewed Kevin 7 days ago. And one of the things that was never brought up was the fact that, and keep this in mind as you're listening to Kevin, he does all this great stuff with music. He upgrades his own Macs. He's troubleshooting. He's doing all this. Kevin is completely blind. And we never even talk about it in the actual interview. And I think I'd never brought it up because I've known Kevin for a number of years now. He's done some projects for me in the past. We've been friends on Twitter and social media and email. And I don't even think about it now. And I didn't even think about it during the interview. But something to consider, what he's had to overcome without the ability to see. A very talented musician. He's upgrading his computer. I mean, it's quite remarkable. So, well, maybe it's not remarkable. Maybe he is who he is. And that's the remarkable point. Not that he can do all this stuff because he's blind, but simply because he can do all this stuff. I can see fine. Well, not really. I have to wear cheater glasses now when I want to read anything that's close to my face. That's called turning 40 a couple years ago. What's remarkable is the talent this guy has. He's really into technology, but he's a musician first and foremost, I think. And it really shows. That's where I think Kevin is remarkable. I really think you guys are going to like the interview. I really think you'll like his music. Make sure you go to blog.macsales.com. Look for episode number 12. And I'm going to have a few links there so you could find all of Kevin's music and his website online. You don't have to start Google searching or anything. We'll make it real simple for you. And make sure you buy his albums, basically, because it's good stuff. I really enjoyed it. And if you don't want to actually buy it, you just want to listen to it first, as you'll hear in the interview, you can do that as well. But while you're at blog.macspecialist.com, make sure you click Visit OWC. It's right up towards the top of the page. And find something for your student. If you've got a student getting ready to go back to school, some of your students or some of your kids may have already gone back to school. For me, it's... Oh, listen. You hear the thunder? Yeah, it's coming close. Our kid... Ooh. That's good thunder right there. I actually enjoy storms. Do you enjoy storms? I wouldn't want to be a storm chaser. Well, part of me would. But I enjoy storms as long as I can enjoy them from the comforts of home. I don't want to be outside in the storm. I have kids getting ready to go back to school a week from today, as a matter of fact. And there's a lot of things that we as parents have to buy our kids. Now, keeping up with technology is important. But I don't need to go out and buy a brand new laptop for my 11-year-old. That seems to me, that'd be a lot of money, you know? The nice thing, though, is at OWC, we have used machines. Right now, let's say I wanted to Let's say I want to buy my 11-year-old a MacBook Air. She doesn't need, you know, the super powerful, top of the line, just came out this year, MacBook Air. She can use one that's a couple years old. And at her age, she's got perfect eyesight, so an 11-inch screen would be perfect for her. As I record this, and this price is only good for today as I record this, which is August 26th, 2014. Prices could change at any time, so there's no guarantee just because you hear a price here on OWC Radio. But right now, if I went up to MacSales.com, I can pick up an 11-inch MacBook Air with Thunderbolt, an i5 1.6, 4 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs SSD, $679. That's amazing. Unfortunately, there's only 5 of those left, so if you're interested in that and you're listening to this on Tuesday, August 26th, you might want to get up there and pick it up quick, because with only 5 left, they're not going to last long. But there's other things too. You can get a 13-inch i7. You can get, there's quite a few of those. There's a couple other Airs up there that you could pick up. The point is, MacSales.com. If you go to eshop.macsales.com/shop/school, you will find links to all of our really cool big savings on used Macs. And there's other things too. I mean, flash drives, you can get personalized products for your laptops, snap-on laptop covers. You know how kids want to put stickers on it. Let them put the stickers on the cover, not the actual MacBook itself. But check it all out. Go to macsales.com. And the thunder I can hear in the distance is reminding me that I should probably wrap this up and get to the interview before a thunderbolt, and not the Apple kind, shakes the whole house. So I'm going to jump over to the interview with my friend Kevin Reeves. I hope you enjoy the interview. I do ask that you guys send feedback. I'd love to hear from you. The email address is owcradio@macsales.com. Real easy to remember. It's the name of the show, at macsales.com. So owcradio@macsales.com. You could send us audio feedback. You could send us the plain Jane, I typed it in my iPhone or Mac or iPad email. Or you can go up to the blog itself and leave a message in the show notes. So in this case, you'd find episode number 12 of OWC Radio 2.0 and leave a comment, and I will read them here on the air. Thanks very much for listening to this episode, and here's Kevin Reeves. And back here on OWC Radio, like I've said before, we're doing these interviews with our customers, and it's called Customer Spotlight. And once again, I'm not married to that name, so if anybody listening has a better suggestion for this segment, let me know. OWCRadio@macsales.com. This is a special episode for me. Unlike the last three of these that I've done, I've actually interviewed, I've talked to, and I know this person. His name is Kevin Reeves. He's a super talented musician. He's written two theme songs for podcasts that I've done in the past. By the way, thank you very much for that, Kevin.
No problem.
So you are a musician, and you've got a few albums out there. You're also a heavy Mac user. Tell me some more about yourself. What do you do?
I'm kind of a man of many hats. I live in a 1099 world.
A 1099 world? So you're not employed by anybody, but they pay you money.
Yeah, well, I'm employed by one company that regularly that I go teach for. I teach recording in Chicago. I'm also a singer-songwriter, producer, live entertainer, and such. So I've done all kinds of different things, like worked at a piano bar. I've entertained for, you know, resorts and things like that. I've written some jingles for folks, worked on some albums. I have released records of my own. I just released a new one called Remember to Forget. And so who knows what day will bring what type of work I'm doing. And I love it that way, because I don't think I can do just one thing and stay with that.
Because you're not a factory guy.
No, I can't.
Remember to Forget is your new album. You've also got another one out, and these are both available on Amazon and iTunes. We'll have a link to both, so whatever your preference of buying your music. Although if you get it on Amazon, you can get it for a dollar cheaper. I don't know how that works, Kevin. But it's $8.99 per album on Amazon and $9.99 an album on iTunes. Remember to Forget is the new one. The one I have is It's About Time, and that's a great album. I'll be honest with you, I haven't even listed one track off of the new album, but I'm going to do that when we get done interviewing.
I appreciate that.
And, of course, you can find links to that on OWC's episode number 12, the podcast. But you can also go to kevinreeves.net. How long does it take you to make an album?
This one took 6 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
But not, you know, there were all kinds of interruptions, personal and technical, and I actually started recording that record in 2009 and then had a major technical mishap and $4,000 worth of drums were unusable. So that I have discovered does not only happen in my neck of the woods, but it happens with professional records as well. So it is what it is, you know, one of those things where the engineer made some choices, and when I got the files, it was like, oh, I can't really use these, so.
And there was nothing you could do with it afterwards.
No, we tried. We tried all kinds of fixes, but we re-recorded it on cheaper gear, oddly enough, and it sounded much better. So go figure that one out.
Now, that's interesting. Do you, as a recording artist yourself, a singer-songwriter, but you also do, I assume, most of your own production, how has computers changed and allowed you to do what you need to do? What's the biggest changes that you've seen, say, in the last 10 years?
Well, I mean, computers, you know, I when I was doing this on, you know, four tracks and everything, I mean, I was just a kid and I didn't have any kind of knowledge. So once, you know, once I actually got good at this was when I was doing it with computers. It really changes the workflow. I mean, stuff can get sent all over the internet. That's, you know, I contract out stuff. So if I need something, I can hire it from anywhere in the world and, you know, somebody to play bass or drums or whatever.
So you're not limited to the geographical location anymore. You could be anywhere and your collaborators could be on the other side of the planet.
Yep. And you just kind of say, hey, I need this. Plus the instruments now that we can use on the computer are so lifelike that if nobody's available to do something, we can program it ourselves. We can play it ourselves with, you know, keyboards and whatnot and make it pretty convincing. So
even guitars, I mean, I know, for instance, GarageBand, which is kind of the entry level, the consumer level product for doing stuff like this, you could play an acoustic and then completely change the sound of it. It could sound more like a Roxy Blues type of
riff. Oh yeah, there's really kind of no limit to what you can do. And
do you think that's cheating though?
No, it's just, you know, the thing is that the guys, you know, the traditionalists would tell you that it's cheating, but really what it boils down to is, you know, this doesn't take away from needing to know, you know, what to do.
All right. Good song structure,
good taste, you know, good everything.
And it's not also not like you're using, you know, those vocal enhancer type of things that Britney Spears, for instance, is known to use, and everyone kind of makes fun of her because her real voice is terrible. And then, of course, they run it through all these computers, and, oh, look, it sounds great. You don't do that kind of stuff.
No, we don't do a lot of pitch correction. I did some this record. I didn't actually use any software. I can do it by hand. If I felt like, man, that was a great performance, but that note and that note and that note out of that song was flat, let me just put those, you know, make that a little more accurate. It's almost like spell check.
That's a good analogy.
You still have to know how to write. And so we don't ever turn any kind of pitch correction on and leave it or anything like that. I never employ it I don't actually like pitch correction software. Actually, what I would do is if there was a flat note, I could highlight it in Reaper, which is a free open, well, it's a shareware open source platform, and I could highlight that bit of audio and just kind of draw it upward or downward as I saw fit. And but there's not a lot of that going on. But I don't, you know, I don't believe in correcting things. I mean, if it's wrong, it's wrong. It needs to be redone. But sometimes you're like, man, that's just, that is a great performance, but boy, I could have sure probably pitched that a little bit differently.
And sometimes there's the beauty in the flaws itself.
Sure. And there's, you know, so, and that's part of the human condition of you know, making music.
I'll give you a prime example. I listened to, back in the 80s, one of my favorite albums, believe it or not, was Arena from Duran Duran. And it was a live concert album, which I didn't even realize, I don't think, for a while. But then I heard the studio versions, and I preferred the live versions. They weren't hitting the notes correctly. It was just different. The mood, yeah, the atmosphere, everything was just totally different. And I prefer that over the studio album. So
yeah, it's a vibe.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a vibe that I really dug. Obviously, this is OWC Radio, Otherworld Computing, and one of the reasons that we have people on for the Customer Spotlight is to talk a little bit about the solutions that you found at OWC that allowed you to do what you do, or to help you, or to speed things up, or to correct a problem that you were having. What's your history with OWC?
So I bought the data doubler a couple years ago because I had gotten into solid-state drives at a time when they were, the good ones were still not a lot of space for
a lot of money
for not cheap.
Yeah.
So I was just happy as a clam to get a 120 gigabyte Intel for like $250, you know, at one point. So I had to have a bigger hard drive because a lot of what I do requires these really massive samples. So like there's these instruments, you know, like a piano, for example, might be like 60 gigabytes, you know, and I have drum libraries that are like, you know, 100 and some gigabytes. And these aren't loops. These are actual like tracks, samples of people. These are samples of people hitting drums at different volumes. And then they're mapped to keys on the keyboard. So when you hit them, you're actually playing the drums, you know, you're playing them in real time, and the more samples that are used, the more realistic that it can be. But these are huge. I mean, they're giant. One such library that I use is something called Superior Drummer, and if you'd want to see the real estate that those require, go and look at TuneTrack's website. I mean, one library is like 30 gigabytes for, you know, the Metal Foundry.
Wow.
So I needed a solution where I could have the solid state drive and then have something bigger, at the time in a MacBook Pro 13. And so I bought the data doubler and then I went and got a 750 gigabyte, 7,200 RPM hybrid with 3 gigs of flash. It was the Momentous, the Seagate Momentous line of drives. And that solution has worked and still does work to this day. So what I have on my solid state is I have two 60 gig partitions. I've got a Boot Camp and I've got a Mac partition because I don't need a lot of space on the main drive.
And that's for the operating systems.
Yep. And my apps. And then I've got this 750 gig drive that has my samples and I actually can record to it and things like that.
Yeah, the recordings themselves, they take up a lot of space as well. What is it, like 1 gig per 10 minutes or something like that? It depends on how many tracks you have, of course. But
So when we're done, like when we're working on a project, it's usually an album would be like, you know, 40-50 gig while we're working on it, like a whole record, and then as we're consolidating all of the audio, getting rid of all the unused stuff, yeah, I can get it down to, you know, 15. So you got to have enough real estate as well to work on to actually record the project. So that's why the external is real help. The secondary drive in the MacBook is really helpful. And I don't know if I could have lived without that data doubler. I mean, that is such a – I don't know when the last time that I've needed an optical drive. And mine died anyway, so it was like the impetus to let's try this.
I hear that all the time. People say, you know, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. I like having the optical drive. And I say, when's the last time you actually put a disc in your computer? And you get that blank stare like, yeah, it has been a long time.
I went to Best Buy and bought a $50. They're cheap now. I mean, they're probably even lower than that. And you just, and it's actually annoying. I bought a router a couple days ago, and, Monoprice is the coolest company. I don't know if you've ever seen some of their stuff. They sell like, you know, really inexpensive stuff, but like with a lot of really good features.
Uh-huh.
So I thought I'd try their router out, but they didn't have the drivers downloadable. So I had to give the driver disc to somebody and be like, can you just zip that up and put it in my Dropbox? Because I don't want to dig that stupid drive out. So it's almost annoying anymore to give me a disc with anything on it. I think these guys, like all these companies, instead of a driver disc, they should do those 1 gig cardboard flash drives.
Yeah, throw away when you're done.
Just throw it away, or you've got something extra to use later. I mean, you know, because I'm going to throw away a CD. And that's I got my driver disc and I threw it away.
And that's the same thing with printers. When you buy a printer, I never, ever install the software that came with the printer. I always go to the manufacturer's website because 99 out of 100 times there's a newer version.
It's the updated version and the firmware and all of that. Yep. So, you know, maybe it's a little greener for these guys to stop giving me CDs. And give me a little cardboard, you know.
It'd probably be cheaper that way, too.
Oh, it'd be much cheaper. So, I've lived without a DVD drive in the computer for almost a year and have loved the data doubler. The tool set that it comes with is invaluable. It comes with other stuff that I didn't know I would need until I started popping open a 2008 Mac Mini, because the default tool set that it comes with, regardless of what the piece of hardware is assuming that you might want to open a Mac Mini, so it comes with one of the little pry bars, whatever they call that thing.
A splooge? Splooge, yeah. I think, something like that, yeah.
I'm not sure exactly what that's called, but that's an invaluable little piece. And I'd say the tutorial videos on how to do it, if you really want to know how to do anything and how to, you know, break into your computer and make some changes, just the OWC YouTube channel is invaluable.
Yeah. We see a lot of people commenting on those videos, and honestly, some people that don't even buy products from us use our videos to figure out how to do things with their computer. And that's cool too. You know, that's branding.
I personally did not feel comfortable putting the data doubler in. I actually had, I had a fellow podcaster, Mike Dell,
mm-hmm.
put it in. I think you probably know him.
I do.
He came over and put it in for me, and the instructions, you know, the written instructions were enough for him, but did a good job, and we were on our way. But I've used the videos for other projects, and I've bought a couple of the external caddies and whatnot from you guys. So, a lot of these tools are quite invaluable.
That's what we try to do. We try to marry the right solution to whatever problem people are having and giving them good products. You know, sometimes you can find stuff cheaper out there, but there's cheaper for a reason. And so we try we provide the stuff that's going to last for people because that means you're going to get repeat customers. And you see that in every industry, though. The companies that go just the inexpensive, cheaply made stuff generally don't last a long time, or they run into a lot of problems. And the companies that charge a little bit more, or they make a lot better product, or they have a lot better support, those kind of companies last. So we don't try to compete on price. We try to compete on how good the product is, how well it works. It's not necessarily a spec game with everything. And, you know, that's just a race to the bottom, in my opinion. You got to have the right products for the right people, and you have to support them well. And that's what OWC has always tried to do. And I think we do a pretty good job of it.
Absolutely. The next product I've got my eye on is, I bought a Mac Mini late 2012. I know they're just about to rev it, but, I was in need of a desktop, I call it my semi-permanent solution, like, cause I kind of, you know, hang Chicago hotels for a couple weeks and then I come back to Michigan. And so I wanted something I could just set up on a desk that was always set up, that was fast enough to do all my work so that I could just carry the laptop around. And so I bought this 2012 Mac Mini, the quad core. It's a nice unit. But cutting into it is not recommended. I don't care that iFixit has the instructions on how to do it. I think that they have made it so hard to manually install drives that I would never recommend anyone to cut in and try to put a solid state or even two drives in this thing. So I'm on the fence. I'm either going to send this Mac Mini off and have it cut into, you know, by a company and have them mount two solid states in it, or I'm looking at this OWC High Point dock from that's Thunderbolt enabled.
Yep.
And I'm assuming, because I haven't seen it, I'm assuming that the whole thing is an enclosed bay that just sits on your desk.
Yep.
And it would allow me to put one or two drives in as necessary. And if any of them craps out on you, you just replace them real easily. I'm kind of in that. I'm thinking like a 1 terabyte solid state for all of my, for all of my
live music loop stuff,
samples
like that.
And yep. Everything like that, and then a smaller 256 for my 2 128. Partitions for Mac and Windows, and just be kind of done with it. I'm kind of on the fence.
The nice thing about Thunderbolt is it's so fast. You know, yep. It used to be that if you're not running your OS off an internal drive, forget about it. But Thunderbolt's so fast that you could boot up, say, a Windows from an external Thunderbolt drive. And you're not seeing hardly any lag at all. I mean, it's...
No, because you're looking at a 10 gigabit...
Right.
You know, transfer speed in those drives, those solid states are only 6.
Right.
So you're under the cap, if you will. So I'm really kind of looking at that one. It's only like $230 or $40 or something. And, that's the going price.
And it gives you flexibility moving forward as well. You're not locked into one thing.
Yep, absolutely. And Apple has this $50 barrier to entry because of the cable.
Yes.
We need to, somebody needs to bring that down.
I've never understood Apple's pricing on their accessories, the cables. Look, I know Apple loves their high markups and their price points allow them to have that nice, you know, profitability in there, but wow, you know, they've always kind of battled this perception that Apple products cost so much more than everyone else. When it comes to the peripheral stuff, just the cables, absolutely, it's crazy on how much they charge. RAM is the same thing. If you get extra RAM from Apple, man, it costs so much compared to what you can get it from, say, OWC.
This is why I did not purchase another. The initial idea was for me to get another laptop, because I thought, I think this one's dying, you know, the battery's going in it. You know, I thought I'll get another laptop, but I don't like the idea that the RAM is now permanently wired and you have to order it exactly how you want it. I like user installable RAM because I'm in charge. I, you know, my worry about computers going forward with Apple is that I'm going to be less and less in charge. And so I'm not going to be able to order RAM, you know, for like you know, who knows, you know, they could decide with the 2014 Mac Minis, well, we can make them smaller. We take that RAM door off the back.
Yep. You know,
we can shrink this down even further.
Well, all you got to do is look what they've been doing with the laptop line.
Yeah.
Or the iPhones or the iPads for that matter. There's just, I don't know, this race to not allowing anybody to open your products.
And I really, you know, I want to be able to order RAM and put it in. They've made it so hard with the hard drives. The 2009 Mac Minis and below, before they went aluminum, are so easy to open. Oh, yeah. It's still, I mean, they're still a pain to open, but it's still easy enough where, you know, you're popping off the whole upper, you know, you're flipping it over, you're popping off the upper piece, and then you're flipping the bottom over, taking off a couple of radios, you know, you're unsticking them.
Right.
And then four screws, and you've popped off that thing, and on the inside of there is the drives. Well, that's not the easiest in the world to do, but still doable. But now they've completely, you're now taking off, like, you know, you're removing antennas from the motherboard and you're removing connections. And no, I'm not doing that.
So Kevin's not only a musician, he's a geek.
Well,
you are a technology, you know, geek just like us, Kevin.
Yeah, and sometimes it gets in the way of trying to create stuff because I'm battling.
You're looking at the minutia.
Yeah, I'm battling, like, oh, I wish, you know, how can I get that? That's not working right. How do I fix that? And, you know, jumping between Pro Tools and Sonar and Logic and Reaper and, you know.
So there isn't one application that you rely on most of the time. It's a collaboration between a lot of different pieces.
Yeah, like I prefer to do all of my composing and sequencing in Sonar on Windows, because Cakewalk, they invented the computer sequencing MIDI, you know, workflow. That's where you're just kind of programming in all of the instruments.
Gotcha.
That's not real-time live recording. But they invented that workflow, and it's so good that I can't help but be over there. you know, Pro Tools, on the other hand, is one of the greatest audio recording and mixing packages, and the MIDI is all right. It's not great. It works, and you can do stuff, but Sonar, man, you can get in there and do all kinds of processing, and, you know, to the MIDI, you can have it find certain notes and remove them, and things just make life a little easier and faster for you. So I hang out over there, and then Pro Tools for a lot of recording and mixing, and Logic for all the instruments that they come with that are really great. Reaper, as I've said before, is really neat.
So let me ask you, you are a recording artist. You're both on Amazon and iTunes. Which one of those media distribution outlets is easier for you? Which one do you prefer?
I prefer Bandcamp.
Really?
Bandcamp is actually the greatest thing. I mean, I've obviously the customer, if they're already an iTunes subscriber, we do Spotify nowadays. And so you can stream those records, which is, make those available. But I always say, it's great to stream an album and whatever. But if you really want to support, if you want to support an artist, even though you may continue to stream it on Spotify, maybe, buy the download as support. I mean, we're kind of battling the whole Spotify thing. I've resisted it no longer. There's really nothing I can do. Streaming is the future. Everybody wants to go there. And so we have to find a way to create value above and beyond an album. People can get it for, as a part of their $10 a month subscription. And I have to say I am now a Spotify subscriber and I can't help it. It's amazing. There's so much stuff that you can dig in, old catalogs, be like, wow, I haven't heard that in years.
Yep.
And do it legally. And now with a lot of us are DJs as well on top of what we do. And we can legally have a million song library without having to go and, oh, I need to grab this, but I can't afford all those songs. These DJ apps can now link to Spotify for us. But
it's amazing how far we've come, because I'm actually in the midst of watching. When I put my kids to sleep at night, I have to stay up there until our son, who's six, is actually asleep. Because if I just come back downstairs, he's going to get into mischief, right? So we read the stories, we do that thing, and then I go into my bedroom and kind of keep an eye on him until he's asleep, and then I sneak back downstairs. But yep. While I'm sitting in our bedroom, I've got nothing to do, so I'll either read, or lately I've been watching movies on Netflix, and I'm right in the middle of watching one called Downloaded, and it's the story of Napster.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't very long ago, Kevin. That was 15, 14 years ago, which, for you and I, and we're around the same age in our 40s, you're in your 40s, correct?
37.
Oh, that's still, you're pretty close. For us, that wasn't very long ago. And where we've come in music distribution over the internet in such a small amount of time is quite amazing. I mean, I can't believe it.
That's a true statement.
Yeah.
It's quite something. But to answer the question from before, Bandcamp is really a neat outlet for us. We actually get a little more commish off of the Bandcamp.
And I think those are, you could download it on any platform, play them on any player.
You can download them in any format.
Really?
There's like 12 awesome. Different formats. I had planned a long time ago. I was like, all right, I'm going to research. Let's see. There's a new service called Stripe, and they're going to take credit cards, and I'm going to get an SSL, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to have four or five versions of this record that you can buy. So you can do FLAC, you can do AIFF, you can do WAVE, you can do AUG, you can do MP3, high bitrate, whatever. And I'm going to serve them up. And then I discovered Bandcamp transcodes it all for you. So you can choose your formats.
So you just upload the AIF file and it does its thing. Yep. That's pretty amazing.
So KevinReeves.bandcamp.com. There's also links to it on KevinReeves.net. And you can stream the entire album for free from the Bandcamp website. We do that as a gesture of good faith.
Is that the one that's on your website itself on KevinReeves.com? Is that what it's linking to? Because you've got a couple songs up there. I saw the little playlists.
Well, that's the SoundCloud player. You can also stream the entire record on KevinReeves.net using SoundCloud. And we do that because, nowadays it's like, well, let them listen to it all day long for free online if they want to. you know, from a website. But if you want to grab it, download it, have it in your library, you know, that's where you're, you know, then we ask that you try to, you know, you buy it from one of these services. And I think SoundCloud, you know, SoundCloud's great because, you know, I can, if you listen to a record, you know, you're ticking up my play counts, and that's helping towards charting and metrics and
absolutely, and that's all important.
And, you know, comment and share, and so
what's been your biggest surprise as a musician? What's the one thing that's kind of, I don't know, surprises? I'm trying to think of the right word. The one thing that's really hit you as a musician that you heard your music somewhere, or you got a comment from somebody. Is there any one thing that's kind of like, wow, I've made it, or that was amazing?
So
it was Eric Clapton covering Kevin Reeves. That's what it was, yeah. Isn't it?
So a couple years ago, like 5 or 6 years ago, I decided to release It's About Time as multi-tracks, which are all the individual files for, you know, for my album. You could go and grab them as, like, you know, zips and put them into your GarageBand and see how all the individual instruments were recorded. And I put them up, and I started getting all these emails from all these people who started creating mixes. Because what I wanted was people to make remixes, you know, like dance remixes, sure, or whatever. But then people just started sending me remixes, like actually remixing it. And I'm like, what are they doing? Well, that entire catalog of stuff had gotten picked up by this Cambridge, through this Cambridge school. There was this book that had come out called Mixing Secrets for the Home Studio. And this gentleman by the name of Mike, I don't know his last name, he works for a magazine called Sound on Sound, which is a reputable recording magazine, had aggregated all of those links and had, you know, said, you know, put them up, had aggregated all my links and had put them on his site. And, you know, because he was scraping the net for people that were offering multi-tracks,
right,
for free.
And you did a whole album.
And I'd done a whole record, and you could get each individual song. And so people found that, people started liking to mix that stuff. There are currently 200-plus mixes of my material on this site. And it's quite unbelievable. And so I'm about to do the same thing with the new one.
Yeah, why not?
Because, I mean, that was so successful.
And you got to imagine, if they're sitting there remixing your stuff, they can't help become a fan of what you've done and what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
That's amazing. Did any of them really kind of stick out to you? Like, wow, that I never thought of that, and that was amazing, and that's even better than what I did?
Well, somebody did an electro metal remix, which I thought was pretty cool. I like it. See, I prefer, I don't want to hear like a remixed version that just spit back at me. Like,
right.
I wanted people to twist it up into something new.
Oh, heck,
I wanted,
yeah,
it mangled.
Yeah, you that's know, cool.
Like mangle it, remix it, do something cool. So I would listen to mixes and I would respond and be like, sounds great. Love the drums or whatever. Thank you very much. But it's actually, I prefer the actual art of remixing, like making a new song out of it.
Would
that's
you
what
do
I
that?
Wanted to see people do.
Would you do that with another artist? If Billy Joel released his whole catalog like that, would you get lost in that catalog remixing everything?
I'd probably find a song that I thought was cool and make some kind of dubstep remix or something. I
Piano Man?
dabble in that or something. Who knows what I could do.
Anything else you want to promote before we wrap up this episode, Kevin?
If you like metal, I did a metal record with some friends of mine called Crater Maker. You can find that all over the web, cratermakerband.com. If you like angsty, political, anti-government stuff, I did another record called, the band is called Free Fall Effect, and you can find us all over the web. There's an EP called No Agenda EP, and it's we were helping to promote the No Agenda podcast with Adam Curry. And so it's got a lot of kind of, you know, that whole like angsty
anti-government conspiracy
yep. type stuff.
And songs. Then John C. Dvorak. I've listened to that. I can only take so much of that before I'm like, oi.
Some of the songs on there are you know, there's some good songs there that we did. So if you, you know, if you're into that kind of stuff, so Crater Maker and Free Fall Effect are two other projects that I'm involved in, and the new record is called Remember to Forget.
And of course, I'll have links to all of these at OWC Radio, so you don't have to furiously try to write all this on the dust on your dashboard as you're driving. It's going to be in OWC Podcast Radio, or wow, I just mangled that. OWC Radio Podcast, episode number 12. Go to our website, blog.mechsales.com. You will find the show notes there, and I'll have a link to everything, so you can definitely find it.
Yeah.
And I've been typing as you've been talking.
OWC Data Doubler, this new record, this is a new record that would not be have come out. So,
well, we appreciate that.
I live and die by the OWC sword every day with that Data Doubler.
Well, we're glad that solution helps you. Hopefully, we'll have some new things in the future. And I know you're actually moving real close to where I'm going to where I'm living currently. And when that happens, we need to get together and have a drink, and I really do appreciate you coming on OWC Radio this week, Kevin.
No problem. Thank you very much. It was my pleasure.
Follow me down into my darker darker space. Where the thoughts and emotions that I think and feel begin to negate all of that which is real. And I can't understand how I lost the appeal for it all. Follow me down in the tunnels of gray. Follow me down in the caverns of clay. the road.